We're in a series called Heroes. This is a series about men and women who God used in a book of Hebrews, chapter 11. He calls them heroes of faith. How many of you know there's a list of heroes of faith? Today's scripture is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Can we read that, please? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Okay? So Noah is a man of faith. I want to tell you something about God. God is not impressed by a lot of things that people find impressive. God is not impressed. The longer I live, the more I understand that God is not impressed by strength. Because all human strength is nothing compared to God. God is not impressed by your gifts and talents because he gave those to you. Right? If I gave you $1 million, I wouldn't be impressed that you have $1 million. Right? If you gave somebody $1 million and they started saying, look at me, I'm a millionaire. Okay, great. I gave you that, so it doesn't impress me. God is not impressed by your beauty or good looks, right? He's not impressed by that. God is not impressed how much money you make. He's not impressed by that. God is not even impressed with what kind of works you do for him and how much you give. All of it is his. So what impresses God, Pastor Alex, is our faith. Bible says that God is impressed by our faith. And so far, all the men that we have studied, heroes of faith in the Bible, they were men of faith. And we also see women of faith as well, but we didn't get to them yet. We'll get to them soon. We studied about Abel. He believed God and responded in obedience. We studied about Enoch last week, right? He believed God and responded by being a preacher of righteousness. Number three, today we're studying about Noah. And Noah believed God. And he became a man of faith and a man of righteousness. The story of Noah is not the most pleasant story in the Bible. So I'm not going to go into all the details about what happened. Because you can go and read Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8 about Noah. You can watch a movie, although it's not theologically correct. I want to warn you. Okay? But I want to go directly into our study today of what made Noah a man of great faith. Amen? Amen? Now, point number one, Noah was a righteous man in an evil and corrupt world. Noah was a righteous man in an evil and corrupt world. God is looking for people today who will live righteously. Okay, God is pleased when you try to live righteously. Amen? What happened in the days of Noah was that people of the world became corrupt. They loved evil more than good. Some of you might ask a question, Pastor, why do people seem to stretch their arms and go towards evil? Why is evil so attractive to us? Why is sin so attractive to humanity, right? I mean, that's the question I ask, because sometimes, I gotta admit, as a pastor, I just want to be bad for one day. What is it that tempts me to be bad, right? Have you ever been tempted to be bad? What is it that tempts us to be bad sometimes? Well, yesterday, okay. What is it that tempts us? It's the old lie of the serpent. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he said that to Eve. He tempted her the same way. He said this. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat? You shouldn't touch the evil? We can today say, did God really say you shouldn't do this over here? God really say that? Paul say all things? I can do all things. Don't finish the verse. Just quote a little bit of it. I can do all things, right? And so serpent comes to Eve and says, Eve, if you eat from this fruit, you shall know the knowledge of good and evil. Hold on. Something's wrong with those two words, good and evil. Three words. Because Adam and Eve already knew all the good in a world. They knew the good. But the temptation came and said, but you're missing out on the evil. You're missing out in the world. You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You're missing out. And if you try this, it will bring you the ultimate, the maximum pleasure that you're missing. God doesn't want you to have, right? And when we try it, we realize, like a fish who bites the hook with a worm. There's a preacher fish who preaches, I believe. That's why you don't catch something in certain lakes. Because there are certain preacher fish that preach good and say, be careful, don't eat that hook. That worm is a trap, right? And that's when you have a good preacher fish. Christian lake, yeah, it's in a Christian lake. But then you have another lake where no matter how what you throw, an empty hook, and this dumb fish go, what happened? Same thing happens when we disobey God. Satan gives us a hook, something to trap us with. And when he traps us, that's it. All he has to do is slowly reel us in. And Satan is so smart, he understands, don't pull him fast, they'll fight. So go slow. And before you know, the fish is on a hook and out of the water. And he chops his head off. Right? That's what, see, the world offers. And that's the kind of world Noah lived in. Noah lived in a world when people were deceived. He lived in a world when giants lived. Let's read Genesis chapter 6, verses 1, and we'll just stop whenever we can. Let's read it. Now it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, the sons of Elohim, saw the daughters of man. In the Old Testament, we see two insertions of angelic. We see it one before the flood, and we see once after the flood. So what happened was, these demonic angels, fallen angels, they saw beautiful women on the earth, okay? And they decided to take a human form and come down. In the Bible, we see that they usually came down as males, okay? Even in the book of Genesis later on, to Abraham, these men came as males. Amen? And so these angels came down, and they started breeding, they started marrying, they started... And they created giants. Bible says huge giants. We have a picture. Can we show the picture of, what's this guy? This guy, what is this? Gilgamesh. He's written about in history. This is a picture. Look what he's holding in his hands. It looks like he's holding a kitty. But he's holding a lion. This man said about himself that he's two-thirds God. This is history. This is not the Bible. Just history. He ruled about 120 some years as a king. And he was about 16 feet tall. Some of these men had 6 toes and fingers. Okay? And so he's holding a lion as you would hold a kitty, right? A bad kitty who's disobedient. You would grab him and look at that kitty. He's scratching him. But he grabbed his paw and he's holding it back. Okay? So these mighty giants were created, and this dude said that he was descendant of Elohim, sons of Elohim. So these angels came, and they populated the earth. When these angels realized that they can't go back anymore and live in that atmosphere of second heaven, how many of you know there's, Bible talks about 3 heavens? Paul says, I was lifted up to the 3rd heaven. So heaven number 1, that's our heaven. Clouds and things like that. Then there's another spiritual heaven. And then there's where God lives. Far away. And so these beings realize that they can't go back. See, once they took the form of man, they were going to die as man. See, angels do not die. They are spirits. So you can't kill them. But once they took the form of man, they had to die. And what these giants did, they populated the whole earth. Right? And they started just destroying the earth. And God says, he looked upon the earth and he realized that there was a lot of evil. Another thing these angels, these demigods, half man, half God, and there's a lot of Greek mythology. Greek mythology is not real, but I believe that it has somewhere in history some roots. There's some roots. It's coming from somewhere. You don't just come up with these things. Okay? So these giants began to do another thing. They began to corrupt the world. They began to teach a world a new religion. And it's called religion of a serpent. I said it last week. I'm repeating because many of you were not here. They were teaching that new religion. And we see in many countries today, in China, they worship the dragon. Okay? In most major religions, in India, we see worship of serpent. In Japan, we see worship of serpent. On the crown of kings of Egypt, what do you see? A cobra. Worship of a serpent. You see in Incas, same thing, worship of serpent. Incas worship the serpent. So these giants came in, they mixed with human race, and they taught, they showed them great signs and wonders. They showed them magic and things like that. And people, gullible people, they began to believe that false religion. Plus, false religion always plays on our lusts. So false religion always gives you what your flesh wants, your lusts want. That's what they give. Satan realizes, okay, I can't, you know, if I give them what they want, they'll worship me. He came to Jesus and says, Jesus, if I give you all the kingdoms of the world, maybe he'll worship me. Jesus said, nah, not this guy, right? If you show off and jump off the temple, you know, then I'll, you know, they'll know you're truly son of God. I'm not going to listen to the devil and whatever he said. But that's the kind of time that Noah lived in. And what happened was that the whole earth was deceived into believing false religion, worshiping the serpent, worshiping the devil. And the worship of devil plays on one more thing. It plays on this. God, why do we need God? We can rule ourselves. The greatest lie of Satan is to deceive people that he doesn't exist. Have you heard that phrase? That's what he does. He says to people, you don't need God. God is an intruder. We don't need him on earth. He doesn't need to tell us what to do. A few weeks ago, a young lady came to me after the service and she said, listen, Pastor, I was talking to a friend. He used to be a Christian. And now he said, I believe that there is some kind of a source or some kind of a higher power, but I don't want that higher power influencing or interfering in my life and telling me how to live and what to do. I want to be God, right? Serpent's lie to Eve. You shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. You should be like God. You should be like God. We were already sons of God. We were already like God, okay? But there's only one God, and you're not going to be him. We're his children, but we're not him. And he is the king. He's the ruler, and we need to obey and trust him. And so in the world when everybody rejected God, we're coming to the place right now in our society when Christianity is not very popular. Pretty soon you guys are going to be minority. Did you know that? Christian people, your views are going to be so unpopular. Did you know that in U.S. government right now, people are being fired for holding on to Christian views? And it's going to happen more and more and more. Because the world says we don't need God. And behind that, that religion of the serpent in secret societies is still moving in the underground, invisible way, because our world does not recognize supernatural. But they don't realize that you either worship God or you worship something else. You worship God or something else. God cannot do anything without people on the earth. He uses men and women to accomplish his goals. Satan cannot do anything on the earth without using men and women. There's a new song that I heard. I didn't listen to it. I read about it. They came up. They played it on Wish Mary Had an Abortion. Mainstream. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The religion of the serpent is becoming more bold in this country. It has always been bold in other countries. But this was a kind of a Christian nation. The only place on earth where gospel was preached. Where people at least had God in their mind. From grandma, mama, somebody, granddad. But now it's becoming bold. Even in our city, the atheist was praying in our city council meeting. And the prayer was, atheist was praying, they took a book of Harry Potter and read from that. And that was the prayer. It's penetrating. It was on the news. How many of you read that? Yeah, thank you. Not a lot of you read news. You should. Right. Because when I read that, I was like, what? When is the witch going to come and pray? When is the devil worshiper going to come and pray and chant whatever it is? So we're living in the end time. And Jesus actually spoke about it. He said, so as it was in the day of Noah, they were partying, they were getting married, they were living a life not for God, and a flood came and wiped them all out. So it will be in the second coming of the Son of Man. So it will be. Bible says two will be in the city, in the house. One will be taken, one will be left behind. Wow. Wow. But God could have destroyed all of the humanity right after Adam and Eve. Why didn't he? Because he loved you and me. Yeah. Because he loves humanity. But in this case, how many of you know God will promises? This is a promise that he will judge every living soul. Right? You know that, right? Not a very positive message, Pastor. Hold on, it's coming. Positivity is coming. You got to wait for it. I want to explain to you that we are sinners. So you know what you need to be saved from. Because some people are just like, I'm a good person. I just need to raise my hand and that's it. No, you're a sinner. So am I. And we live in a world full of sin and evil and violence and corruption. Breaks my heart because we people in America, we're so sheltered from everything. But today, people in Iraq, Christians in Iraq are being decapitated. Children in Iraq are being decapitated. When I saw the pictures, my heart was crying. I can't show you these graphic pictures, but I'll show you four pictures. Let's just show. These people are gathered in the church hiding in Iraq right now. These are Christians because ISIS are killing them, cutting their heads off. When I searched the picture, I saw such horrific pictures, I couldn't show you them. If you can stomach it, go and look. Whole bunch of, keep going. They're all living in that church right now. They're sleeping in the church, hiding from the Islamic terrorists. They're sleeping. I couldn't show you worse pictures. This world is not, we're sheltered in the United States. We're sheltered, thank you, Lord. Pray for our nation. But people around the world are dying. The religious persecution is up like it's never been before. The religion of the serpent, you know who he is, the devil, is moving and taking many forms, and people are dying, and we need to be in prayer. We need to know what's going on. We need to know what kind of times we're living in today. We were talking to one man, and actually my wife was having a debate with one man. He was like, have faith in humanity. Right after that man killed all these people at the Batman movie, I'm like, yeah, have faith in humanity. Yeah, after a man takes a whole bunch of guns and go to a movie theater and shoots everybody. Without God, humanity is rotten because we're never left alone. We're going to serve some kind of a God. We either serve God of the Bible, who's holy, who's righteous, who's good, who's loving, who's kind, who's merciful, or you serve the serpent. Who are you going to believe? And who you believe determines who you serve. Eve believed the serpent. And Noah, the thing about Noah, and what I'm saying is that Noah believed in God. Who do you believe? Let's keep reading. Chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. This is in the Bible, people. Giants. Some of them up to 16 feet tall. Giants. And the Lord was sorry, listen to this, that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I wonder what God thinks about us today. I wonder if God is happy, or is God being grieved, and his heart is being grieved because of the wickedness that's happening in the world. And how many wars? There's war in Ukraine right now, my home country, where I was born. War. War in Iraq. In Syria, Christians are being slaughtered. In Nigeria, Christians are being slaughtered. And the thing is this, it's coming here. I hope not in our generation, but it's coming. Jesus said this, whoever wants to be my disciple will be persecuted. You will be persecuted at work. You will be persecuted in school. You might lose your job for having the faith you have. Noah didn't care. Noah, when everybody denied, Noah chose to follow God. When these wicked spirits mixed with humanity began to rule on the earth and created dynasties on the earth, Noah chose to follow God. You got to understand, there was no Bibles in those days. So there's nothing to read. All he had was stories of his grandfather Methuselah, Enoch, on and down to Adam. That's all he had. But he chose to believe God, and Bible puts him in the heroes of faith. Let's keep reading. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. Their thoughts was evil continually. I messed up, God. Sorry. No, this is a norm. How can we do more evil? How can we steal more things? How can we rob more people? How can we kill somebody who doesn't want to give me what I want? How can I take somebody's wife who I want? How can I do whatever I want? That, just imagine that kind of world. What I want. What I want. See, people say, especially atheists say, we can have a good world without God. No, we can't. No, we can't. We go down fast without God. What happens when a piece of meat has no salt in it for a long time? It rots. Same thing with humanity. We rot without God. And that's why we need salt of the earth. And Bible calls Christians, that's you and me, salt of the earth, right? Salt. We're salt. We're to preserve this society. Of course, we need to use wisdom. We cannot just go and attack everybody and say, we're going to hell. We need to use wisdom so we can stay alive and be that salt. Amen. Amen. And the Lord was sorry that he made the man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Grace. What is grace? Undeserved favor. Let me ask you a question. Was Noah without sin? Well, it says he's perfect. There's not one righteous. After Adam and Eve, there's not one righteous. Otherwise, Jesus Christ didn't have to come. Noah could have been our sacrifice, right? If he was without sin. Noah was a sinner like us. We know that he had weaknesses. But because he believed God, his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. Listen to me. When you believe in God, when you chose to wholeheartedly believe in God and reject the world, God counts you as righteous even though you're not perfect. Even though you're not perfect, God counts you perfect. But let me go further. That's vertical righteousness. But unless vertical righteousness has horizontal righteousness produced by vertical righteousness, the faith is not real. So let's say this. Somebody says, I have great faith, but you don't live any differently than the world. What happens? After a while, people will say, your faith is fake, man. It's not real. But what real faith will do is it will produce certain works in your life. Faith always produces works. Now, works don't come before faith. Faith has to produce works. It is by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works, that no man may boast. But after we have been saved by faith, we begin to produce fruits. Bible calls them good works. Amen. So Noah was not a fake. He was not a fraud, because a lot of people believed in God in those days. Bible says demons believe in God, but they don't have any fruits. Listen to me. Demons believe in God, but they don't have any fruits following that faith. Faith without works is dead. Demons are not getting saved. Now, I've read something interesting, and I've always kind of thought that, but in the old Jewish writings, they said demons, do you know who demons are? Demons are the fallen angels that came and made it with women, and they produced giants. When those giants died, God locked them in. They're demonic forces because they're half and half. So Jewish rabbis, some of them believe that demons came from there. Okay? Demigods. Anyway, where are we going with this? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Question is this. What does it mean that Noah found grace? How do you find grace? Was Noah good and then he found grace? Was Noah righteous and that's why God saw him and graced him? Or was it the opposite way? God graced Noah and Noah became righteous. I believe the second one. I believe that Noah lived in the world where everybody was bad. I even look at the genealogy of Noah, Ham, Shem, and the third guy, Japheth. I look at his sons, and after the flood, they go and they reproduce, right? And then they start worshiping other gods again. And then they build the Tower of Babel, worshiping the Nimrod was their leader, and they begin to worship other gods. They build a temple, and again, these angels come again down to the earth and mate with women. My goodness, so even Noah's kids weren't good. So what made Noah good? Noah believed God, and because that faith, that force inside of him, made him righteous with God. Listen to me, if you became a believer, you have the force inside of you. You have the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It has power to transform your life. Don't you dare fall for the lie of the devil that you're saved, but that's just an idea, has no power. No, grace of God in your life has great power. Can you close your eyes for a second? Close your eyes for a second. Something's happening. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, I can't explain it with words. You have to do it with your spirit. I'm just a human, limited by my language. But you are powerful right now to explain this message in fully to people's heart. So I pray right now that you just come in and change something. Turn the switch on, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It was Noah's actions of faith that labeled him a hero of faith. You can say all you want how much you believe, but unless you have actions, unless you pray with your children and teach your children the Word of God, unless you share your faith sometimes at least, there's got to be some actions, right? There's got to be something. When action could be this. In the morning, you get up and you bow your knees and you say, God, I trust you. I need you today. Guide me today. See, that's an action. It's a small thing. Sometimes we think we need to build an ark for God. God, if you tell me to build an ark, I'll do it. But if you tell me to stand on your knees in the morning to pray for a minute, no, I can't do that. That's too small, God. I don't do small. You know how great I am? You know who I am, God? I'm all that and more and a bag of chips. Right? God will not ask you to do big things until first he asks you to do small things. You remember Rahab, the prostitute? All she did was she hid the 12 spies. When they came to her house, she hid them and covered them and kept them alive. And then they told her, if you put a red scarlet piece of tapestry on your window, you will survive and all your family. See, she had action, and that's why she's a woman of faith. Abraham, it wasn't just because he believed God that he's a man of faith, who we study next week. But you know what? Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. I don't like this part of Christianity. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about good things, that God loves us. And what I thought about was when God spoke to Abraham and said, you need to give me your son and sacrifice him and showed him a picture. Abraham was probably like, okay, God, I'll just agree with it. I'll just agree with it. And that should be enough, right? Faith is enough agreeing with it. Some of you are like, yeah, I agree with the Bible. I don't follow it, but I agree with it. Yeah. Notice it wasn't enough to make him a man of faith. It wasn't enough for Abraham to say, son, come, let's start walking. And in a way, he said, are you pleased now? See, I'm following you. I have good intentions. You see, I'm doing it. No. God said, it's not enough. When he came to the mountain, he said, see, God, I'm here. That's it. Come on. Joke is over. Let's get done with this. Come on. You know I believe you. You know it. God says, no, go on a mountain. Goes on a mountain. Says, God, see, I'm on a mountain. It's enough. You tested me already. You know my heart. Faith is not just your heart. Some of you are hiding behind the excuse, God knows your heart. Yeah, how evil it is. Yeah, he does know. Bible says all hearts of men are evil continually. He does know your heart. He does. And he knows my heart. And it's not that good. Because I'm sometimes ashamed of what's in my heart. And so are you. So God says, that's not enough. Put him on an altar. Get a knife And when Abraham was about to do it, the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, don't do it. There's a ram over there. And the ram was like, what did I do? I was just feeding here. Leave me alone. Backing away. First, he was enjoying the show. He was like, what is this crazy man doing, killing his son? And the ram was the symbol of sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices. So it was symbolic of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And so Noah believed God and he acted. I know you believe God. I know most of you believe God. But what is that one action that God is asking you to do? What is that one small step of faith that he's asking you to do? For some of you, maybe it's something where you need to go to school. He's asking you to go to school, college, right? Maybe he's asking you, maybe it's time to start a business. Or maybe he's asking you, maybe it's time to leave that boyfriend or girlfriend that you know is not godly. It's all the boyfriend, girlfriend people. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your neighbor. Okay, let me rephrase it. Maybe it's time to leave those relationships that are not godly. And you know they're not godly. What is God asking you to do? It's that small thing that maybe today you're sitting here and you know you've been far from God. And God is saying, I want you back. I want you in relationship with me. So today you need to give your life to Jesus. Some of you have believed in Jesus, but God is saying, why don't you be baptized in the water? And you're like, oh, I don't know. It's uncomfortable. What is God asking you to do? What is that one step? Maybe God is asking you to come to church more often so you can learn more. Yeah, that's maybe he says, you come once a month, let's come twice a month. Let's make a step. Maybe God is asking you to give and trust him with your finances. What is it that God is asking you? God asked Noah to build an ark. So I know you can get baptized when time comes and be dunked in the water as an act of obedience. And your act, your little act of obedience, will be counted to you as Noah's big act of obedience. Your little act will be the same in God's eyes as Noah's big act. See, it's our faith that pleases God. It's our faith that excites God. And Bible says God rewards faith. Some of the blessings in your life are tied up in a bag. And God says, I can't give you because you're disobedient. And I want to open that bag and just let those blessings flow in your life, but you're disobedient. And God says, what is it, one thing that you need to do to trust me, the act of faith, what is it? God already is putting on your mind that one thing. Would you trust him today? Would you obey him today? Because if you do, you'll never be sorry. You'll never. Hallelujah. Last week we prayed for healing. How many of you know that? Got two testimonies of people healed in our church. They raised their hand and said, pray for me. That's it. Testimonies. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. As I was preaching, I saw like film was over some people. And as I was preaching, I saw the film broke and clarity came. You know, like that fog was lifted. It's biblical. And I saw that fog was lifted out of some of you. Please close your eyes and bow your head. I want to ask those who are still running from God or maybe you came to the place when you're like, God, I need you. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus today. Maybe you've been a Christian before and you walked away, or you've never known Jesus. And today you heard something and something happened in your heart. You can't even understand it. You can't even explain it. But today you felt God move in your heart. And today you feel like, God, I want to give my heart to you. See, God wants you. He brought you here for a reason, because he loves you. He gave his son Jesus for you to die, to pay for all your sins. Why would you live with your own sins? You have an opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. God loves you and wants to save you. The best decision in your life that you can make is give your life to Jesus. Not just for this life, but for eternity. I want to pray with you right now. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Save me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. From this moment on, I believe that you are my Lord and you're my Savior. And I'm your child. Use me for your glory. I want to walk with you like Noah walked with you, and was called righteous by faith. By faith, I believe that I'm saved, and I'm forgiven, and I'm the righteousness of God. All my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.